The following podcast of The Blitz is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine, and if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, and you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code BLITZ101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code BLITZ101.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at my name Jong, at Degenerates975. And you're also going to want to follow our guest at ChosenJuan285 because he's an entertaining follow and a really easy guy to root for. And undefeated UFC fighter Juan Adams joins us.
You know what? And I know you're the Kraken, and it's a good nickname for you.
It's a great nickname.
You know what would have been a great nickname?
No.
Quincy. Juan Quincy Adams.
That would have been awesome.
That would have been good. I thought about that when I was watching you fight the other day. I was like, man, I wish his nickname would have been Quincy. That would have been really good. Juan Quincy Adams.
That could have had the whole presidential spiel.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Or it could have been El Presidente Juan Adams. That would have been good, too. Man, so you just come off your first UFC fight. Tell me how different it was going into the cage for the first time and it being like the big show. How's it feel differently than what you've done in the rest of your career?
I mean, everything about it is different. The cage is a little bit shorter at the big show. You know, that walk out there is so much longer. And the arena is bigger to begin with. So you're looking around, you feel even smaller in there. And the canvas itself feels different. So everything is, it's just like everything is different about it. It's all like little things that you wouldn't think add up. But as soon as you walk in, your body's just like, whoa, we haven't been here before.
Right.
And it was definitely different. And walking out, you know, seeing all the media production stuff of myself as I'm walking out there was weird. And seeing myself on the big screen as I'm walking down was strange, too. My coaches are all, like, trying to reassure me that nothing's different. But they're all super excited because it's their first UFC fight, too. So everyone, there's just so much nervous energy and anxious energy in there that it makes it's worlds different.
I wanted to ask you because I was reading afterwards that you couldn't use your contacts, so you had trouble seeing them, right?
Yeah, that was rough. So normally I always just fought with my contacts in. It was never that big a deal.
They tell you not to, but you just ignore it.
Oh, well, this time I was like, you know, when you're fighting for like, I was in a local show for $1,000, $2,000. Like, you're like, I don't really care. Whatever they find me won't be that much. But when it's a percentage of your purse at like $10,000 or $20,000, it's like, hey, well, you know, I kind of
follow the rules.
Yeah, I kind of want to keep my money. So I didn't wear my contacts. And It was fine the first round because I think I just had so much energy going into it. I was everything was there. But in the second round, when you kind of calm down and the adrenaline dump hits, you realize, like, oh, he's farther away than – oh, he's not further away than he thought. And I just got hit in the face. Tough. That's great. And then you're telling yourself to slip, but my depth perception was all off. So first thing afterwards, I said, I'm getting LASIK.
Yeah. Have you scheduled something yet? Or?
Yeah, next Friday I go in for surgery.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's all said and done.
So it's life-changing.
Yeah.
Have you talked to anyone? Like, were they happy with your performance? Usually they seem like they tell guys how they felt about how they looked, and then they say, when do you want to fight again? Did they have that discussion with you?
They were very pleased with the performance. You know, everyone from the commentators to other fighters on the card were coming up congratulating me after that. And we were out, and, you know, different UFC execs were telling me the next morning, like, yeah, I just watched your fight again. So they were very pleased with the performance. For me, it's really hard because, like I said, I'm kind of an unprecedented case with them. You know, I have 2.5 years of experience from my first amateur fight, you know, and, you know, amateur and pro combined, I have less than 10 fights. You know, most guys have 10 amateur fights before they go pro and then 10 pro fights before they even get a shot at sniffing the UFC.
How many total fights have you had? Five?
Five pro, four amateur. Yeah. So, you know, it's about picking the right opponent. Me, I want to fight anyone, but they want to really, you know, make sure it's a good matchup and a good fight because nobody likes watching, you know, super one-sided fights. They get boring.
Well, and heavyweight fights by nature have a good tendency to be boring fights. Like, because let's face it, cardio as you get bigger gets more difficult to maintain.
Yeah,
and definitely. So a lot of these heavyweight fights turn into guys just throwing one punch at a time. Their, you know, hands are on their hips. In fact, I commentated for the fights at Fury this weekend. Yeah. One of the heavyweight fighters, like, hits me up on Facebook, calling me mother effing me, and I'm a bleep and bleep and bleep me, and he'll give me brain damage because when I'm calling this fight up, say both these guys are out of gas and they're throwing sloppy punches one at a time right now, and I'm like, did I say anything that wasn't true or yeah. What? But that especially at the lower levels, that tends to happen. A little bit less at the heavyweights. But, I mean, hell, Derek Lewis gasses out when he gets to a third, fourth round. It's just it's tougher, yeah, when you're that big. So this was your first time out of the first round.
Yeah, first time ever out of the first round. And it was tough. I mean, the guy's tough. And I'm grateful to him for being tough. You know, that's my first war. And now we know that, like, yeah, I had an adrenaline dump. I gassed a little bit, but it came back in the third. You know, I was just as fast then. And if, you know, if this fight had ended in the first round, it would have been, you know, the same story. You know, I wouldn't have learned anything. I wouldn't have had anything to take back to camp. And now we know areas that we need to work on. We know areas that I've improved. And we saw me use a wider range of skills in this fight than I have in any of my other ones. So we're really grateful for that. We're super happy about the performance. I didn't take any damage. I mean, I got a little bruised up, but I didn't receive a suspension or anything like a lot of guys on there. And all the time that I'm going to miss is for stuff that I wanted to fix before the fight anyway.
Did you feel like, about Chris De La Rocha, your opponent, he's also sort of an odd case because he was, I think he's like 1-3 now in the UFC.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have a lot of fights either. Did you feel a big jump up in skill from your previous opponents? Because I know on the local scene, none of the guys you fought were, I don't know if any of them even had a record over 500. And then I know your Dana White fight, the Contender Series fight, that guy was right around 500. I think De La Roche is around 500. Did you feel a significant jump in his skill level compared to what you've seen in the past?
Honestly, I thought Sean Teed was 5-1, and I think he was ranked 5 nationally as a prospect.
Oh, okay. I stand corrected.
And De La Rocha was 5-2, but these guys, there was a definite jump in ability levels from what I was fighting at.
In Legacy, yeah.
So, but from Teed to De La Rocha, it was pretty similar. De La Rocha was just, I mean, I thought Teed was tough because he withstood a barrage of punches. I think I hit him 56 times in the first round, or 57 strikes. And then, but De La Rocha, you know, going into the third round, had absorbed over 100 hits to the head. That was crazy. So,
were you frustrated at that point? Like when you realized, man, I'm going to a third round? Because I mean, it seemed like you came out looking to get this thing over with in the third round. It seemed like you were ready to get out of there. Did you feel when you're sitting on the stool between rounds, you're like, dude, I can't believe I'm still here?
Not really. Like, so between rounds was really weird. Like I said, it was my corner's first time, and the cut man thought I was the one bleeding, but De La Rocha was just bleeding so much, and it was all over me. So the cut man's over here, like, doing all this stuff to me. I'm like, dude, I'm fine. I'm not even cut. I just want my water. And, you know, one coach had the water, and the other one that didn't have the water was talking to me on the stool because the cut man, if the cut man's there, only one coach can be there. And so they had to switch out. I wasn't getting enough water between rounds. I was just like, yeah, this needs to be over. This has been a weird experience. I want to get back to the locker room. But – it was frustrating, but it was also at no point during the fight was I like, did I lose my cool? Was I like, I'm freaking out or anything?
You didn't change the game plan at any point.
The game plan stayed the same. It was always, you know, touch him. When you see a takedown, go for it. And that's what I did.
I say all the time that I think you've got a really high ceiling in the UFC because you have such a rare skill set for a heavyweight. Yeah. And because most heavyweights aren't wrestling based. And I mean there's exceptions. Brock Lesnar's an obvious exception. He was at the pinnacle of collegiate wrestling. I mean, he's one of the best amateur wrestlers ever, but he also didn't have the striking chops that you know, that you need to survive at that level for very long. But you are a really developing striker. Like you've gotten way better since I've been watching. You know, I've watched you as an amateur. Yeah. And your wrestling has always just been such a tool for you that a lot of these guys won't have. I mean, when you're watching heavyweights in the UFC, do you think, man, I can dominate this guy with my wrestling? Is that something that you're looking to do, or are you starting to get comfortable enough that you're just willing to go where the fight takes you?
I'm finally starting to step into that area of comfort where I'm like, you know, wherever the fight goes, I'm happy with. But I do look at a lot of the guys wrestling like, oh, I know I've got that in my back pocket at all times. I'm like, I know I can always take this guy down. Because going into this fight, Chris De La Rocha was a pretty accomplished grappler.
Yeah.
You know, he had 100% takedown defense rate. Never been taken down in a pro fight, never been taken down in the UFC. And I took him down twice. So, and it wasn't hard. So,
have you gotten anyone on the ground that you felt like, okay, have you fought anyone that you feel has more physical strength than you yet?
Oh, no, not even close.
would that change your game plan? Like, if you take somebody down and you feel them, they're starting to move you around, does that change the way that you approach the fight? Like, because I feel like for you, and I think Derek's always had the same thing, like, Derek's never had training partners even that were as strong as him. So when that day comes, and who knows if that day will come for him or you, that he gets in there with someone who's physically stronger than him, like how he would react to that. Like, have you considered what's going to happen when you grab onto someone and they're like, or even just as strong as you, and they're able to shuck you off because you've never had to deal with that?
No, my style on top, you know, it is imposing because I'm so large, but I do float a lot also. You know, if you see, there's times where I'll let someone get up just to float around, move positioned. In this fight especially, I could have just put pressure on him and kept him down. But as he got up, you know, I transitioned to a front headlock, circled around, grabbed the ankle, took him over. I let him start to stand up a little bit and take him back down. And even in college, that was always my style of when I was applying top pressure. When I was starting referee's position, I would let the guy stand up, float around, and I would keep a hold, keep grip to maintain control, and then just keep switching, move his body, and focus on the body mechanics. And that's how I would manipulate and be able to maintain top pressure and keep my energy up, because I don't expend a whole lot of energy. I just manipulate their body and their energy against them.
So you, if I'm not mistaken, you weighed 265. at weigh-ins. Is that right?
266.
266.
They give you 1 pound.
Okay.
I had to use the towel to make weight.
How difficult is that cut for you to get down to 266? How much does it take out of you?
It takes a lot out of me. We usually refuel really well. This time my refuel was a little bit messed up.
It's tougher when you're not at home.
Yeah, it's a lot tougher when we're not. We didn't have all the like protein, BCAAs, all that stuff. We have a blend that we do, and we usually do 4 shaker bottles worth of stuff. This time I think we did 1 shaker bottle and then focused on just, you know, Pedialyte and Body Armor. That was it, and water. So it was a little different. The refuel was a little bit off. It definitely took a lot more out of me this time than it has before, on top of just the nervous energy aspect of it.
What'd you weigh in at on fight night?
283 on fight
night. Okay, so you put on a good amount of weight. Do you feel like you're, you know, now that you're in the UFC, they're gonna want you to be ready, especially a heavyweight. They want a heavyweight to be ready the day they ask.
Right.
Do you think you're going to make adjustments to your diet, things like that, to make sure you can stay closer on to weight on an everyday basis?
Yeah, so usually I'm walking around, and like right now I'm 291, I think, and the goal is not to get above 295. Last camp I got up to 305 between last camp and this camp. So we want to get to the point where I'm walking around at 285 consistently, and that's always a 20-pound cut. If worst comes to worst, you can do in one day.
Right.
So that's where we're at. We really want to get to where I'm walking around at 285. But right now we're just enjoying the victory while I recuperate and get these surgeries done.
You got time to hang out for one more segment?
Yeah, for sure.
Is that all right, John? All right. Well, we'll hit a break then. I got to tell you about dirt-free carpet cleaning. Listen, guys, you're going to have family over for Christmas. You're going to have your in-laws over. They're going to judge you. They're going to say, man, your floor looks like crap. And I don't know that you should be sleeping with my daughter anymore. And nobody wants that to happen. That's why Dirt Free Carpet's got their holiday special going right now. Take advantage of that. 3 rooms of carpet or tile clean for $100 plus a free speed dry. Nowadays, people like to have those lighter colored fabrics and carpets. They look good until they're dirty, and then they look beat up. Dirt Free Carpet's holiday special, 3 rooms of carpet or tile clean for $100. 281 Dirt Free, go chemical free with Dirt Free. They're not using soaps. They're not using the unhealthy dirt attracting chemicals that can harm you, can harm your kids, can harm your pets. They've been doing this for over 30 years with the best technology in the game, cleaning your upholstery, floors, oriental rugs, even your air ducts. Call 281 Dirt Free. Tell them you heard it here on ESPN 97.5. Get 3 rooms of carpet or tile clean for just $100. That's 281-DIRT-FREE, 281-347-8373 for dirt-free carpet.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Juan Adams still with us. And, you know, you were talking about this earlier, about having only had 9 fights. I mean, how... in obviously, every fight's a learning experience. I mean, what's the ceiling for you, man? I mean, you clearly can still learn a lot. And how far do you think you can get?
I mean, I definitely think I could be, you know, a world champion or easily top 5 within the next 2 years. But I'm looking to go down, as you know, as a true pioneer of the sport. I think I'm going to change what a lot of people think about heavyweight fighting, what a lot of people think of mixed martial artists in general. You know, we're in a unique sport because fighting is one of those things that's so ingrained in all of us instinctually. So it's very easy to relate to it, you know, and everyone. So I think that's a huge appeal. And when people see more of the, you know, the human side of fighters, I think we'll grow even more as a sport. And I really want to help bridge that gap, you know.
One of the things I wanted to ask you, do you feel like your chin's been tested yet? Like, have you gotten just... Have you gotten crushed with a big right hand and just been like, oh man, like, Have you been loopy in the cage yet, or has anyone really landed a shot that was strong enough to really stagger you for a minute?
Yeah, my second pro fight, you know, the guy hit me, and I was like, I wasn't really wobbled, but I could definitely, you know, was a little dizzy. And this fight, you know, the guy hit me. He hit hard, not like, but it wasn't. I've never been to the point where I didn't think I could function, you know,
right.
Or I would have to like just grab him out of desperation, you know. But I mean, this fight, one of the punches, I was, you know, hands down, neck wasn't clenched at all, just literally standing. I just ate one, and I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, a lot of it's where you get punched. Yeah, you know what I mean? That always
helps. He
caught
me square on the chin, so I was just. But, you know, there's been times in training where I've taken a knee to the jaw, or, a guy hit me with a spinning back fist one time, and he was about 280 also. So that one hurt a little bit, and. I've been hit with uppercuts as I'm taking a shot. That was the worst one, but there's never really been anything that's made me, you know, sit down. I've never sat down. Every time I've been hit really hard, I've just kept moving forward. So that's probably not the best plan going forward. But
yeah.
So if I fight Ngannou, I'll fight differently. Or Derek Lewis, I'll fight differently. But anyone else, I'm just like, I don't really feel threatened by it.
Does seeing Daniel Cormier as the UFC champion, does that kind of get you jacked? Because, I mean, a wrestling-based guy as the UFC heavyweight champion and as dominant as he's been, and obviously you weren't like an Olympic-level wrestler, but you're an accomplished wrestler, and you see him as a guy who just kind of had to learn striking the way you did along the way. Like, does that kind of be like, man, if that guy can do it, I feel like I can do it.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that's definitely enlightening or encouraging, rather. And, you know, he's not 6'5".
Right. He doesn't have the physical tools that you've got.
So that's very encouraging for me, and it really does put a lot of it in perspective, you know, just how good I can be in this. And there aren't a lot of wrestlers. There aren't a lot of accomplished wrestlers in the UFC. And the guys that are wrestlers are striking is so bad, typically, with the exception of Curtis Blaydes, obviously. But I'm not going to fight those guys for, you know, at least
for a while.
Year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So right now it's great because I'm like, all right, easy path to get the big paychecks. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Now, have you considered what the point is going to be at where you've got to go outside of Houston to get more training? Because it's not easy to find, especially right. Guys your size, to find guys that are that skill level in this city.
Yeah, and we have thought about that. I was just talking about my manager about that today, really. And we're looking more so to bring people in as opposed to flying out. My biggest issue with going to a lot of big-name camps is,
Someday you might fight those guys.
I might fight those guys. The coaches don't really care that much about you. A lot of times you're brought in to help someone else get ready for a fight. Right. So they want you to be a punching bag. And then on top of that, it's like the recreational aspect. All like fighters, like most fighters just smoke a lot of weed when they're not doing it. I don't do that. Like it gives me a headache and I get tested enough as is. So I don't really want to deal with any of that. So it's weird coming home. You know, I'm trying to go to sleep and everyone's like, you're crashing on a couch when you go somewhere like that.
Right.
So it's not like you're sleeping, staying in a hotel or a Wingate or anything like that. I'm crashing on somebody's couch and just weed everywhere.
So I'm assuming you had a full-time job before this. Are you, what's your job situation like now?
It's funny, when I first started, I was working six jobs, actually.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's six different part-time jobs, and that sucked. And then, you know, as it went on, six became five became three, and then it was just two. So I was working, my last two jobs that I had, I was working as a loan coordinator at a bank part-time, and I was also coaching, doing middle school and high school coaching. And now I just coach high school outside of.
So that, I mean, that's nice because you're around what you want to be doing anyway. So.
Exactly, and you know, I'm sponsored now also, so that's a huge bonus. You know?
Nice.
It's a it's a lot of peace of mind. You know?
Do you feel like that? I mean, when you're working six jobs, it obviously can't be easy to find time to train, especially train enough to be competitive with the best guys in the world. I mean, are you yeah. seeing now as you've got more time to train that you find yourself growing faster?
Definitely. You know, and as I quit like each job and dedicated that time slot to training or recovery, you know, the jumps in ability just were really evident. And between my third pro fight and my contender series fight was the biggest jump in ability you saw. And that's when I quit my last job about a month and a half before my contender series fight. And it clearly showed, you know.
So a couple years ago, I asked to fight Greg Hardy, and I was told no. Now, here a few years later, I realize I'm probably lucky that they didn't say yes. Like, Greg Hardy would probably beat me up. But you've also asked to fight Greg Hardy, and now I want you to fight Greg Hardy for me. Is that still something that you want to do? Is that still something that you hope that they will line up for you? Or do you my guess is they're going to be so protective of him as a prospect that they're going to put him in there with guys that they think he can beat up.
Exactly. And that's exactly what it is. You know, I've lobbied to fight Greg Hardy. I've called out, you know, Greg Hardy. Because I firmly believe that any of my last three opponents would mop the floor with Greg Hardy. I feel he isn't talented. And, you know, you look at his opponents. As an amateur, he didn't fight anyone under the age of 37, right? That's not impressive.
Right.
His first amateur opponent was 44, I think. His next one was 42. And his third amateur opponent was 37. You look at his pro opponents. You know, yes, Austin Lane was talented, but Austin Lane also walks around at 240 pounds. Greg Hardy's close to my size.
Right.
There's no way you're going to, like, you hit that once, you should beat him. His next opponent was, you know, Tabarrus Gordon, who's 6 foot, 280-something pounds. Like, he looks like Jabba the Hutt. He's not talented. And then you look at his last opponent. He goes from so his first pro opponent was 4-0. His second one was 3-0, and his last pro opponent was 1-1, 6 foot tall, 240. You know, they're giving him cans to fight, and in the UFC, it's going to be a jumping competition. He could possibly lose to Alan Crowder. I firmly believe that, but he won't ever fight me, and I know they'll never set that up. His management team won't set it up. In fact, Greg Hardy used to go by the same nickname as me, and his management team like wanted to sign me, and I went off on him. I was like, because I don't like Greg Hardy. I don't like the fact that they even represent him just because he's a name, you know?
Yeah.
And I think rather than trying to get quick hits like signing Brock Lesnar, signing a Greg Hardy, they should develop talent they already have. You know, there's a lot of very interesting and diverse personalities within the UFC, and they're starting to do it more so with the UFC, the embedded series and things like that. But they're just trying to pick it up now. And I understand that it's all business. It's a business move, but Greg Hardy and Greg Hardy's camp both know that I would wreck him. And so
I don't know that it's fair to put Brock Lesnar and Greg Hardy in the same category, because I mean, Brock Lesnar had a legitimate background, you know, coming up, and Brock Lesnar was also a UFC champion. I mean, Lesnar beat Frank Mir, Brock Lesnar beat Randy Couture. I mean, he's got some wins on his resume that are impressive. I mean, he's like a legitimate heavyweight. And granted, there is the circus aspect of it, but the fact is that guy can compete at that level.
That's true.
And he was proven to have been able to compete at that level, whereas Greg Hardy is clearly, that's to me a sideshow. When CM Punk.
Exactly.
If CM Punk weren't famous, he would have never been in the UFC.
Right.
If Greg Hardy weren't famous for being a football player, and honestly, Greg Hardy got more famous after he became a football player that beats women than he was when he was just a football player, which is crazy to me, but that made him more famous. And if he weren't famous for that, there's no way he'd ever be in the UFC. He just wouldn't.
Exactly. So, but no, they'll protect him and they'll give him scrubs. He's never going to be, you know, a top 15, top 20 guy. And so I'm not – he's not on my radar at all. But I've said multiple times, you know, I'll fight the whole roster. I want to fight everyone on the roster because, you know, after my career is over, people are going to know exactly where I stand and exactly how I stacked up against every one of my contemporaries.
So. Well, man, we appreciate you coming in. I know you're a busy man. I know you've probably got media requests flying from all over the place. But luckily, before you were a star, you were a blitzer.
That's right.
That's what I'm talking about. So we'll take that. And, man, I'm looking forward to your next one. Please let me know when something gets on the schedule. Sure. And we'd love to have you back, brother.
Thank you, man.
Anytime, my man. That's UFC heavyweight Juan Adams.
All right, guys, I have to tell you about Go Insurance. And listen, we do everything on our phones now, right? I mean, my iPhone is in my face all the time. Well, here's an insurance that you can get exclusively on your iPhone. And you've probably seen their billboards around town. They got the crazy cat billboard. They got the elephant being shot out of the cannon. And they're just trying to get your attention, just like your phone does. And the app is incredibly fast. You just download it, scan your license. You're going to get a quote in 60 seconds. And I know nobody wants to think about car insurance, but how about just make it easy? Make it like the rest of your life is in that phone. Smart technology that makes your life easier. Everything is managed through the app. There's no more paperwork or waiting on hold. You're in control. You update your policy, add drivers, file a claim, all through the app. Go can cut out a lot of the fees you see other places, too, and actually give you money back. Finally, a car insurance that gets it and speaks your language. None of that insurance jargon that nobody understands. Go makes your insurance faster, easier, and possibly even cheaper than what you pay now. They've been the number one auto insurance app in the App Store now forever. Check out what we're talking about. Go to the App Store now and download Go Car Insurance. Open the app, get a quote, and see if you can start saving today.
This is ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
Behold the king, the king of kings. On your knees, dog.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Presented by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we're back on the Blitz, and you know what that music means. It's time for the King, Jerome Sotman. What's up, buddy?
What's up, Canadian? Welcome back to the real world.
Trust me, I am glad to be back. Other than the damn traffic in this city, there's everything else, we win.
Well, it's getting worse, and obviously the station is over near the Galleria. So
yeah, this time of year, it's not much fun trying to get in and out of this place.
But it was unanimous that everyone said they liked you better than Fred. So let's not go too crazy.
Well, that's a given. I mean, you know, Fred's there every day. They gotta hate him. If I was there every day, it'd be the opposite. You know how that goes.
Yeah. Well, what do you make of the Texans? They get out with a win. Like most of their wins this season, it wasn't very convincing. It doesn't make you feel real good at the end, but it still goes on the left side of the column. What do you think about the Texans on Sunday or Saturday?
I really am on the win the game. That's really what matters. And I get the Texans fan who doesn't want to get too excited because they know their heart's going to be broken. Well, every team's heart's going to be broken, and I don't blame you, but these wins, this type of season that they're having, this stretch of football that they're playing, has been so rare for them, being a Texans fan. How can you not be happy and excited? I mean, you're going to always be miserable if even the 10 out of 11 wins doesn't make you happy. I mean, that's just a crazy fan of me. I would expect fans to be irrational and talking about the Super Bowl they're going to win, not worrying about, you know, our quarterback had an almost perfect game except for those three plays he held the ball too long. That's the worst thing ever. Like, no, it's not. It's much better for him to hold on the ball and take a sack than it is throw an interception. He hasn't done much of that. You saw what Tom Brady played like on Sunday, what Jared Goff played like, what a whole bunch of other really good quarterbacks played like. I'll take Deshaun Watson's day on Saturday anytime.
I think, though, the reason why Texans fans aren't more optimistic is. It's like, imagine you're a dude who every girl you've ever dated cheated on you. It makes it hard for you to be like, oh, this one's going to be the loyal one. It just never feels that way because it's been like 20 of them cheated on you.
But it's the other way around. It's been 17 years of not getting laid for Texans fans.
Right.
So they're at least on they're second base now. They don't get to second base very often. This is only second base. But my goodness, remember first how excited you were when you got to second base?
Oh, yeah.
They should be that excited because they've only been second base once, right?
Yeah.
This is about the second best they've ever been to this point in the season. And, man, I'm sorry. I don't understand the Lions. Are y'all never going to be happy? And I get the sense, and I don't blame them. Don't get me wrong. I understand it, but I'm just like, no, y'all should jump on the bandwagon. I said the same thing with the Astros. It's been 50-plus years. Astros have never done it. If you're not going to get excited now, when are you going to get excited?
Maybe when they win it.
That's too long.
That's too late.
The odds of winning against that, you better enjoy this now before they step into Kansas City and get smoked. And I will say, that is a bigger worry than anything on the team. I think they're one shutdown corner away from really being able to beat any team they step on the field against, period. There is no shutdown corner available between now and the playoffs. So it's the good quarterbacks and the good teams, and that's all you got to play in the playoffs. They're gonna pick on that outside corner on secondary, and it could be ugly unless J.J. Watt and Clowney really have special days.
You know, we talked about this at the beginning of the show. I feel like home field advantage is more important to the Texans than any other team in the AFC because I don't know that the Texans can win a road game in the playoffs against any of the teams that they would possibly have to play. I think having home field advantage, the longer they can have it, is more important to them than any other team. You agree or disagree?
Yeah, I agree, mainly in the sense of the Texans are young, not necessarily in age, even though they're young in age in some ways too, but it's more in experience, in getting it done, and playing big-time games and bouncing back when things don't go well for you. You know, it's probably a good thing. This sounds stupid, I know, but I'm admitting it before I say it. It's a good thing they've had so many of these close games against bad teams. They're not going to freak out by being in a close game. They will freak out if they get down by 14 points. That's much more likely to happen on the road than at NRG. So, yeah, I agree. They got teams at NRG. They're not likely to fall behind. They're excited. The fans keep them in the game, and it'll be rocking like it rarely rocks in other places. And it'll give them the best chance to beat some of these teams. And it also will affect the passing game for other teams, theoretically. It should be more difficult for them to get snap counts off. And for the offensive line, they got to go on silent count. And every little tenth of a second will make a huge difference in how far J.J. Watt and Clowney and whoever, D.J. Reader, can get to quarterbacks because that secondary can be gotten to. And yeah, so it's I was saying it a month ago. They can get the number two seed. I saw it laid out there for them. It's there for them to go take. They better go get it.
One more before we let you go on the Astros signing Michael Brantley. What do you think of that? And then what do you think the next move is?
It's another sign of these guys did not sit around on their hands messing around. You know, they pick out what they need and what they want, and they go get it. And as much as we give them flack, and they deserve it, for hoarding and hanging on to their young prospects, they also don't just hand the prospect a spot on the team and say, here it is, and you can have it, and we're not worried about it. You know, so Kyle Tucker, you know, like, you expecting him to step up? Well, if he does, might not be here with the Astros or on this team because Brantley is going to eat up a spot. The guy's a contact hitter. When he's healthy, and he's been healthy. He's healthy this year. He's a big-time player and can make a difference. And they need that left-handed bat, and that extends their roster and their lineup, rather. It's a strong move. And just another hit that these guys will do whatever it takes and to try to get better and try to get it done. So where they go from here, I mean, they keep talking about the arms and they don't need it, but they're looking. They're trying to add to it. Just the bar is the World Series. It's not let's have a good season. Let's, you know, draw a big crowd. Let's have fun. Let's see if we get lucky. No, you need to win. You want to win, and that's from the owner on down. And they got a form. They have a formula that works, and it's just going to be fun to see what else they do. Because I know they're not done. I can guarantee you that. And there'll be buyers at the trade deadline. So this is what we're going to get with the Astros. Always the team that's making moves, trying to get better.
All right, that's Jerome Solomon, Houston Chronicle columnist. You can follow him on Twitter at Jerome Solomon. Jerome, appreciate the time as always. Have a great Christmas, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Take care.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
This is ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Check out SportsMap.com if you haven't today. Lots of good stuff, including A.J. Hoffman's college basketball report. Salman Ali has his column on the Rockets. We have maybe the worst take ever on the site from Cody Stutes.
What's the worst take ever?
Well, he says hockey won't work in Houston.
Oh.
And Cody will be on the show a week from Friday. So you might want to tune in for that.
Oh, I won't be here, so you guys are just going to go at it.
Yeah, I'm going to crush his soul on that. I'm just going to warn you right now.
Okay.
Actually, programming note, we'll be at Knicks on Friday. It's our last road show of the year. Second half of the Christmas party. Please come on out. It'll be fun. Of course, we're not here Monday, Tuesday. AJ's here Wednesday. Jong will be filling in Thursday. And then Cody and Holly Seymour will be doing Friday with me.
Okay.
So while you're off at a wedding. So Cody will be, he better bring his A game because on that topic, I'm going to go get him. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the day.
The gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gym of the day.
All right. You do a lot of hunting?
No.
I don't really.
No, I don't. I did a lot when I was a kid because my dad always took me, but I was never really big into it. I don't like sitting still in the cold for a long time.
Yeah.
It's just not my thing.
Well, you're certainly
my
not.
My kids want to go.
Yeah. Well, you're certainly not going to go poaching, right?
No, I would never do that.
Well, because if
I did hunt squirrels.
Well, that's okay. You can shoot those.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's legal, but who cares? They're squirrels. They're rats with furry tails. 29-year-old David Berry from Brookline, Missouri.
Okay.
And his father and brothers were busted for a multi-year poaching scheme that was one of the biggest cases ever in Missouri's history. They were found guilty of violating numerous hunting laws, including hunting out of season, using prohibited weapons like lights to temporarily blind deer, and killing the deer while cruising from inside a moving vehicle. These guys are kind of scumbags.
Yeah.
And then they said the deer were trophy bucks taken illegally, mostly at night for their heads, leaving the bodies of the deer to waste. And if you saw a picture of the guy, he looks like somebody who would do that. Well,
so like people are hunting just for the heads?
Yeah, that's what they were doing. And
like, I understand if, like, you do that for a giraffe. I mean, and I don't really understand that. I think people who kill, like, animals like that just for a trophy are dumb. But, like, deer meat is delicious.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially if you take it to Zumo's and have them do it for you.
Yeah.
Well, he's going to jail for a year, but there's an interesting caveat to his sentence. He has been ordered to view the movie Bambi once a month for his entire time in jail.
I don't know that that's going to help.
Yeah, I don't know that Bambi would have been my choice. maybe Clockwork Orange and peel his eyes back.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so besides being in jail for a year, he has to watch Bambi 12 times.
That is a pretty big punishment.
Yeah, and that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
And 936 says, I agree with Cody. Hockey would be less popular than the Dynamo. Then you two, sir, are a dumb, just like he is.
Yeah, I don't know how. I mean, I don't think...
I think, you know what, if you have a good team, people will go.
That's true.
And there's a lot more people here from the Midwest than you realize. And maybe it's just because I'm around a lot of those people.
The difference with the Dynamo is that's not the best of the best.
No.
You know, and that's always that's what people want to see. People are interested in paying money to see the best in the world play the sport that they play. Which is why, I mean, I think the XFL might do as well as the Dynamo.
Yeah.
Because that's not the best in the world.
Yeah.
And
frankly, the Dynamo, they haven't done that well in recent years.
But, like, even soccer fan is like, oh, I could either pay to go see the Dynamo or I could, you know, go out to a bar or stay at home and watch better soccer players. You know, because the MLS is not the top level of soccer. So I'll at least give the NHL that this is the top tier of hockey in the world.
And honestly, I think the makeup of the city, and it changes year to year, and especially people who are moving from the Midwest who grew up with, I don't think they're going to suddenly become Houston fill-in-the-blanks fans. But I bet you a lot of Blackhawks fans go to the games. I bet a lot of Calgary Flames fans go to the games, which all of those people are already here. There's a bunch of people. I mean, this is a city of transients. I mean, there's very few people who grew up here and spent their whole life here. And there's a reason it's growing so fast, and it's going to continue to grow. And you're going to get people who grew up with it, and I think they'll go. And especially if the team is good. And I think back to when the Arrows made it to the Calder Cup. And we went to the game they lost, in game six, where they lost. And for the first time in an Arrows game, they had the upper deck was open. The whole place was packed at Toyota Center. And I remember sitting in a row with like a bunch of Texans who were there, and everybody was excited. A good team like that, they will bring people. And if the Dynamo would win, guess what? They'd probably sell out, because that's kind of how the city is. If you win, people will go. When UH was going 13-1, saw how they did. It's just, and I think you're going to see that basketball team sell out that arena a bunch right now, the way they're going over there. It's just how the city is. Football, the Texans are the one thing that's immune and will always sell out because they do. But I think there's enough general interest, and I think there would be enough. Well, I think there's enough fan base here to support a team much better than a place like Florida.
Yeah.
I also get the, it doesn't work in warm weather. Well, I'll tell you what. Go look at what the Tampa Bay Lightning are doing. They outdraw the baseball team.
Yeah.
Now, they're a perennial Stanley Cup contender every year. But if Houston does get the Coyotes in a couple of years, that team should be really good. And I think... it would be pretty popular. The first year, people would go because it's unique, and then if the team is good, they'll keep going.
Yeah.
But I think to say that they wouldn't be as successful as the Dynamo is just kind of silly. But that's me.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about Pajamagram. It looks like things are about to get going in here. I'm excited about this. Guys, Christmas is almost here. Give her the next best thing to wearing nothing at all. Soft, silky, nudie sleepwear available exclusively at pajamagram.com. Sensuous and smooth, the nudie's pajamas feel just like her own skin. More alluring than lingerie. You know, the texture and touch of these pajamas, so comfortable, you're both going to stay occupied well into the evening. She'll love the feeling of wearing next to nothing at all, and you're going to love the way they look. And the best part is, you don't have to gift wrap. That's awesome, because every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging. They're backed by a 100% lifetime guarantee, so you're risking nothing. And Christmas delivery, guaranteed. Thousands of men like you have made their loved ones happy by giving them Nudie's pajamas, and you can too, but you got to hurry, because last year they sold out before Christmas. Don't be that guy who's like, man, I wish I had those Nudie's. Haven't we all been there before? Here's what you do. Go to pajamagram.com or call 1-800-GIVE-PJs. That's pajamagram.com. Tell him AJ with ESPN 97.5 sent you.
Into the air of- This is ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.